Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, August the 17th, 2014.
I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we sing just a couple of songs tonight, and then the ladies ensemble is going to join us and with some special music. But as we focus on the Lord's table, we'll begin tonight with Man of Sorrows, What a Name for the Son of God. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Man of Sorrows, what a name. Scoffing blue, in my place condemned he stood.
Overcome the grave. You have conquered death. And for that reason, we have eternal life for those that accept your free gift of salvation. And we praise you and thank you for that tonight. And as we remember, may we be thankful from the depths of our heart. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask the ladies' ensemble to come and share with us at this time.
Saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin. I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, "Wilt thou be clean?" Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise him. Glory, glory to his name. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
Like to receive the offering, and I want to remind you again about Shoes for Orphan Souls and encourage you to participate and be a part of that. So, Father, for this offering, we thank you, and we do think of the opportunities that are going to be associated with people being able to give away these shoes, Father, in many different places, Father, and being able to talk and portray the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for folks. And so we pray even now that we would be thinking of the encouragement that we can be to folks, and help us to be involved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Okay. Mark, if you'll come and share the report regarding India and the opportunities.
All right. I want to thank the church at this time for the opportunity to go visit the Glodfelters and to bring back a report for you. For Don's sake, I did want to make sure it was India and not Indiana that we went to. He was asking me about that, so we want to make sure we're clarified there. I bring you back greetings from the Glodfelters, who, as you can imagine, after many years in China and the great work that they had there, are continuing to do a great work. It's exciting to be able to go and visit and to bring that back to you. So I'm hoping in just a few minutes of pictures that you'll get a glimpse of what they are involved in and the things that they are doing while they are there. Just to give you an idea, they are actually in Calcutta, and in Calcutta on the map is somewhere right just inland from the Bay of Bengal here, which is part of the Indian Ocean. So just on the eastern side there. The reason that's significant is, as you have seen this map before for the 1040 window, you see almost the entire country of India is within that window. And so they have great opportunity to deal with people. People have asked me, is there a difference between the cultures and so forth between China and India? And obviously the answer is yes, great differences, because just completely different cultures. However, a couple of the main differences is India had great influence from Britain, who owned or ruled that part of the world for a while. And so there are a lot of people who speak English, which is a major difference from being in China. But also, probably the other difference is the people in India will listen. If you talk about Jesus and about God, they will respond in a positive manner, which you just could not do that in China. However, if you're talking to them or presenting the gospel to them, you have to ask them, will they accept Christ to the exclusion of their gods? Because in their mind, Jesus and God are one of 3 billion gods that they worship. So to just say, do you believe in God? Well, yeah, everybody believes in God. But to the exclusion of their own other religion and their other gods, they're not willing to make that choice. So a huge ministry opportunity that's right there in the 1040 window. Here are the Glodfelters with the time that we were able to go to the mall and eat after all our camps were over, sort of a treat for us. And Casey there in the middle, she's growing up. I have another picture of her in just a few minutes. But again, they are doing a wonderful job with ministries that they've been presented with. As I said a minute ago, England had a great influence, and so a lot of people recognize the name Calcutta with the C. When India took over their own country again, when the English influence moved out, they changed the name to Calcutta. So while it's similar, it's spelled differently, and you'll also recognize the name Bombay, and that's on the western side of the country. When England left, they changed it, and now it's Mumbai. So it's the same city, just two different names because of the English have left. But you do still see the English tea in the afternoon as their refreshment time. A lot of the businesses will open at 9 or 10 in the morning. They'll take a break from 1 to 4, and they'll have rest time. They'll have tea time, and then they'll be open from 4 to about 8 at night. So it's just a different, again, culture from what we're used to. You still see the English influence in the taxis that were there. When I first saw this, I'm like, that is an old taxi. And it's like, no, that's brand new. That's the model they make. That's what they recognize as their mode of transportation, the English influence again. And so they make all these brand new, and you get them, there's no air in them, except the windows being down and you're going down the road. The other thing that really stood out to us, not only was the extreme number of people in Calcutta, but also the extreme poverty. In our recollection of China, you do see a lot of poverty, but you also see probably equally as much where they were in Beijing as well-to-do people, at least for their standards. But in this part of the country, in India, just complete poverty. The picture there probably represents maybe 100 different families in those homes there, and they just stacked on top of each other, just wall-to-wall people, and just unreal, the poverty in that particular part of the world. The picture I have here is for two reasons. One is, this is a sample of the apartment that the Glodfelters are in, the church that they're involved with, and the pastor and his wife, I'll show you their picture in a few minutes. I actually helped them find this and set this up for them so they were able to have an apartment that is big enough to house people either as they come in from the United States, or also they do outreach ministries with the youth of their church and the college ministry, so they're able to have them come in. The other reason I have this picture here, you see the dark clouds in the back? When we first landed, I probably should tell the story about landing. We left on June 11th. We had issues in Chicago, even though we flew out of Atlanta, because they decided, and I didn't know, but Air India, when we changed airplanes, air companies in Chicago, decided, and as part of their deal, they re-weighed everything, even our carry-ons. So real scramble, because we had packed our carry-ons just as full as they would be, and they were overweight. So we had the big scramble and extra money to try to get that taken care of. We fly 14 hours, and we get into Delhi, which, again, used to be New Delhi, same location as capital. There were thunderstorms there, and as we're getting ready to land, we were jumping probably 5 to 8 feet in the air, leaving our seats, had the seatbelts on, just bottom dropping out. We tried twice to land, and the pilot said, "Sorry, people, we've tried twice. We cannot land. We're going to have to fly to another location." So we flew about an hour north of where we were supposed to be, had to refuel and wait for the storms to pass before we could come back to Delhi. By the time we did that, we had missed our flight to Calcutta. So it was just a domino, and the people were on the plane when we were trying to land, were screaming, crying. Amy had her head down. She's singing to herself, holding my hand. You know, like, I'm not sure what I was going to do about it. But anyway, part of that time of year, when we landed, we actually, the first 5 days we were there, the temperatures were between 115 and 120, with the heat index over 125, somewhere between 125 and 130. So you would see people and they were just wringing wet with sweat as they would be out walking. What was, again, a difference in the culture is nobody wore shorts, except some of the smaller children. Nobody wore shorts. Everybody had on a collared shirt. Not all had on long sleeves, but a lot had long sleeves, again, to protect them from the sun. The storms that you see in the background there is the monsoon. So when the wind changes and the monsoon brings in all the water off the Bay of Bengal that I showed you a minute ago, then you have basically 4 or 5 months of rain every day, which we had. We went about 12 straight days without seeing the sun, and it rained and rained and rained. So Carmen said that they basically teach in school 3 seasons, winter, summer, and monsoon. And there's not winter as we would think of it. It's just the whole country is just slightly above the equator. So I'm not sure exactly what that parallels for us to be able to know. But anyway, the monsoons came in and it rained quite a bit. I was able to take Amy and Carmen's picture outside the grocery store there at the local mall where they would go in. But most of their groceries come from going to the farmer's market, big, huge open market where they have the fruits and vegetables. There's also different kinds of specialty stores that you can go to. So when we needed school supplies to give as prizes or treats for the kids that were coming to our camp, we were able to go there. And you can see the guy almost in the middle of the picture in the blue shirt. He's actually climbing up on the shelves. This is a cubicle probably 6 by 8, and this stuff is packed to ceiling, and if you want pens or markers or whatever, he would spot them and then climb up and bring them down to the counter for you, and you pick out how many you needed, and then the next thing he would go to the opposite side and climb up, so you can get a feel for the kind of shopping that they have to do. Transportation there, lots of different ways you can transport yourself. The biggest way is walking. Very hot that day when we were actually walking. That was on Father's Day. It was just unbearable. Again, you can try to get a taxi, and if the taxi driver decides he doesn't want to take you, he doesn't have to. So this particular one, we were trying to go to church that morning, and he did not want to go that part of town, and so he said no, and they drove off and left us standing there. So we had to wait for another taxi, almost late for church. You can see the horses walking down the street. We did not use this mode of transportation, however, but we did see it. You can see the rickshaw and the guy that would get on the front and drive, and you'd sit back and he would ride the bike. There were also the ones that were just where the man would pull The person didn't have the bicycle, but most of the ones we saw there had the bicycles where you ride. And then we have the auto rickshaw, which has a covering. It's like a motorcycle with three wheels and would go a little faster and go a little further in distance to where you needed to go than just the regular rickshaw. This is another mode of transportation that we did not take. But just to show you, I think I counted 15 people on the top of their wares, whatever that those in those bags, going through the toll road that we were on there. Luckily, I say luckily, but God has taken care of this. The Gladfelters were able to purchase a vehicle from a missionary who was retiring and was leaving that particular part of the field. They were able to get Bishu to be able to drive them. He knows the location, knows how to get around. One of the things that's very different, again, with the English influence, is you drive from the wrong side of the car. And I say wrong because that's what I'm used to, so it's the opposite side. But then you also drive on the wrong side of the road. So Ed was having a little bit of difficulty, even after 6 months of attempting to drive, to actually get out and do it. So Bishu's been a great friend for them. When Carmen rides with him to her different locations, which, again, I'll show you in just a second, they're working on language things, so Bishu is actually helping her learn the language. Two of the main things that we were trying to do when we were there was run vacation Bible schools for some of the local ministries that are there. Amit is one of the pastors that is in the Sunagachi area, which is the red light district. When I presented this as a ministry opportunity when we were talking about going, there were two areas, particular areas that we were going to attend. One was in the red light district. Amit and Sutapa, which is his wife in this picture, have been ministering to kids going down on Saturdays and having kids come and teach Bible lessons and help them with their English and so forth. But they wanted to do a week-long vacation Bible school to get kids in that from that area. All of these kids are a product of the red light district, and there were hundreds of kids. Not all of them came to our camp. We would be having camp inside, and there would be there's a playground right out back, and it was just filled with kids. But this particular one, we had about 150 kids between the ages of 6 and 18 that showed up. That was by the end of the week. There was not quite that many, but they keep bringing their friends later in the week. So what we decided to do was break the group down into three groups. So Carmen did an English lesson on the first floor in this particular meeting room that we're in. Amy did a craft time on the second floor. And then on the third floor, I ran game time. And because there were so many, we basically did relays. And so this is Amit telling the Bible story at the beginning. The theme for this week was Noah's Ark. And so he was telling about Noah and all the different animals and so forth. And then here's a picture of the shoes. They were, again, culturally, they would come in from outside, take their shoes off. So at the end of the night, it was interesting to watch all 100 people find the 200 shoes that were there on the floor and which one belonged to them and so forth. Eventually, everybody found their own, so that was good. Here's Carmen doing a English story and a song, and the kids just loved getting to hear more of the English and getting involved. Here's a picture of the kids sitting on the floor on a tarp doing a fish from a paper plate that we took as supplies in. We cut the mouth out, attached it to the end for the tail. Then they got to color it and decorate it and put the eye on it and just had a great time being involved with the crafts. They also did cards and they used stickers, lots of things that we were able to take in as supplies when we went. At the end of the night, because it was so hot, the buildings do not have air. There's Ed and Carmen after a full evening of teaching. Ed's got that look like I'm about done. But we all had a great time being involved. They also had some college workers that are part of Amit's ministry there that go to their church, and they were spread out between the three groups, helping with crowd control, with the language issues. And so these guys were a great advantage to us. Amit and his wife also run a home. They were just in the last three months have been able to pick up 7 children that have been outcast, and so they were able to take them in. The reason I show this is he takes all 7 of them plus himself on the motorcycle to school every day. Unreal. And I'm like, there's no way. He said, no, I'll show you. And so there's the picture. There was actually one of the kids was not there that particular night, so he's not in this picture. So one of the things that the Gladfields have been working on trying to secure was a van. And just as I think 2 days before we got there, they were able to get the van. And so it makes it a lot safer for them to go to school. They were able to pay half of it. And so you'll see on there the $3,500 is still needed to pay off the other half. But again, much better riding, security, going to school every day. The traffic and the people and the cows and the dogs and everybody in the road is just unreal trying to get around. So a lot safer than on a motorcycle. And there's a picture where you can see him driving on the wrong side of the vehicle there. Lilua is a section of the ministry that the Gladfelters, again, are involved in, which, again, comes from the Red Light District. The girls that are listed or shown here are called the SAC girls, S-A-C, and I cannot remember what SAC stands for, but these girls show up to the British Institute or the Bible Institute and do a study. We were not allowed to take pictures from the Lilua girls, who are the ones who are rescued from the Red Light District. Some of them come to Carmen to learn English, and they are so traumatized by men in general that when I was there, I actually went with them one day to do some small construction things. She has a huge room trying to narrow it down and make it more like a classroom. I had to stay behind the fence look thing there, the barricade, just so they wouldn't see me and get all upset. A lot of them are on heavy drugs because of trying to get reaccustomed to not being in that particular environment. So I bring these girls to you as maybe a picture in your mind as you think of Lilua and those girls who are being rescued from the Red Light District and what a ministry that they have to work with them. A couple of things they're trying to do is teach them English and also teach them a trade. So now that they're out of the Red Light District, they have a way to not be in that, but also have income for themselves so they don't have to get back into that ministry or that culture to then have money for themselves. They have other ways. So I think there's a church in Ohio that is allowing or working with them to make cards, greeting cards, and they're shipping them to this church in Ohio, and then from there they're selling them and sending the money back to them so they have that income for them. This is Amy and I outside the Bible Institute, which is run, I think I have their picture here in just one second. Inside the Bible Institute, there's also an English camp that Carmen does weekly, actually twice a week, the British Institute. It is basically called the British Institute because they had to have a name because of labeling issues and stuff, and to basically teach them English. So the kids that are there, there were four that particular day. I think they have up to eight on a weekly basis, and these are basically sophomores in high school through sophomores in college. And they learn English, and again, it helps them get out of their environment where they are and are able to better themselves by being maybe getting a better job because they know English and so forth. The kids that are near the British Institute and the Bible Institute are the slum kids. The difference between the slum kids and the Red Light District, the slum kids have parents that are concerned for them and have that parental support for them. They basically have nothing. They live in cardboard boxes out on the side of the road by the river. So when you have monsoon, a lot of the homes flood. They just don't have anything. The Red Light District, they basically don't have any parents involved. There's no parental support, no structure to their life at all. So these particular kids, as we did our vacation Bible school, were more structured and easier to handle than the ones at the Red Light District. But these kids love Miss Carmen and the teaching of English that she does. Here we are in our Bible school. In this particular, this vacation Bible school here, we had about 75 kids. It's a little bit dark there, but they sit on the floor. They had them divided for us, and then we, again, broke them down into three groups as we did the first time. Here they are taking, doing their crafts. Again, sit on the floor, just love to be involved, had all the shoes, the same kind of thing as the other one. This is Arun, the guy that's looking at the camera. He is the one that's actually in charge of the British Institute. I'm not sure his age, but he got right in and wanted to do the coloring and the crafts, and he was absolutely hilarious. Would tell jokes, upbeat. The kids loved him. The Bible Institute has about 11 young pastors from the area villages that come in, learn more Bible through the Bible Institute, and then go back to their villages and are able to shepherd a flock of their own. And this particular Bible Institute where we are in this building is, since we have left, has moved about 20 miles outside of town, where they again have more property, where they can have livestock that they can use to sell and have money. They also have chickens, and they grow vegetables, and they're able to turn that around to help support themselves. And here we are eating lunch one day after we had our vacation Bible school. The kids, you just fall in love with them. Just at the end of our Bible school, they came up with their books. They want us to sign their book. They said, can we have a hug? Can we have our picture made with you? Like, we were the celebrities. And we're like, no, you're the celebrity, because we love you and we want to show God to you. And we just had a great time with them. And at the end of the vacation Bible school, they all got up and they sang their songs that they had learned in camp with all the hand motions. Even in this picture here is some of the leaders or the guys from the Bible Institute that are there training. They got up and sang. You can see there's guitar and drum. Just had a great time worshiping God there. Calcutta Christian Fellowship is the church that they're involved in. Come back to one of the guys that's leading music there. It was very interesting. The first Sunday we were there was Father's Day. And so they had some of the older guys who could sing get up and lead the music. And they said, we're having the old guys this week because it's Father's Day. Well, about Wednesday of that next week, Carmen got a phone call from one of the ladies in the church and said, would you mind doing the music next week? And she said, I don't sing. Who died and left me all this? Because I don't do that. And then Carmen's like, wait, I've got Mark and Amy, so we were going to do it. So we actually got up the following week, and as we started, I said, last week, Father's Day, you had the old guys. Now this week, you have the foreign guys. And so we were able to lead music, just had a great time. But I'll tell a story in just a minute about the guy there leading the music. You can see the one on the right. The one on the right there is the one who's been to church before, Nilov, and his wife. I'll show you her picture in just a minute. Pastor Ashok is the pastor, and he is in process of turning that work maybe in the next year or two over to Nilov and his wife, Sangeeta, so that they will then run the church. But very busy, very supportive of all the things that Ed and Carmen are there. They give great support for each other in the different ministries they have. The lady there on the right, Ma, is Pastor Ashok's wife. And then Claudia, I thought was interesting, you know, obviously didn't blend in the crowd. So as we're trying to figure out what's going on, come to find out that Claudia was actually trained with the Zemers in Romania, and were in that ministry. And now she is there in India learning the language and is there to help in this church and help with the ministries that the Glaudfelters are involved in. So how small the world is, and all the way that the Lord ties everything together like that. Just a couple of people in the church. The one on the left was the first convert in that particular area of Calcutta back in 79, and she is very vocal, very outspoken with her walk with God and in the community, and just loves the people there in that particular church. Bilson is one of the guys that was in the pictures I showed at the beginning, very talented, could play the piano, could play the guitar, could sing, ran the sound system, just did everything for the church. As we were talking, we found out that Bilson is from one of the villages to the north and west of Calcutta, which actually was an area where a pastor in that particular area had come to know Christ, and in the mid-1800s had written the words to "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And when he made his profession, the people of that village got so upset that they pulled him out into the center of the village and said, "Renounce your faith or we're going to kill your kids right here in front of you." Sorry, it gets me every time. He said, I can't. And he started quoting the verse to "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And so right there in the middle of the city, in the middle of town, they killed his kids, and he still would not renounce. So then they said, you have another chance, you renounce, or we're going to kill your wife right here. So then he started with the second verse, "Though none go with me, still I will follow." And they killed her. And then finally they turned on him, And again, he quoted the words, and they killed him there. Within a year, the entire village, children, adults, everybody, had accepted Christ because of the testimony. And so I thought it was neat that Bilson was from that particular village and had that connection in my mind with that story and that that song that we all know. A couple of prayer requests as we close down here. We need to remember Amit and Sutapa and the home that they have for the children. That they have six or seven there in their home and the van that they need to finish paying for. The Leilua girls, as I said, I was trying to bring that long room down to a smaller room. Carmen's looking for some money to be able to put desk in there so they don't have to sit on the floor, able to get them some kind of computer, obviously older ones, but something that they can help them learn English. We were even able to take some of the children's computer programs that we use here in the States, very basic English things to them, and she was able to use that in her classroom. The slum kids that we were talking about, and you can read down through there. At the very end there, actually the second one, Abul, as we got there, Ed was talking about one of the guys from the village not too far from Calcutta who had accepted Christ. And because of his acceptance, the people in the town had almost beaten him to death. And so they were able to pull him out of that and were able to get him in the hospital there in that particular village. When the doctors found out that had happened, they said, "We cannot help you anymore. You have to leave." So Ed had to go pick him up and take him to the hospital in Calcutta. And because of his injuries, and that happened right as we were getting there, he's on dialysis and lots of issues because of his belief. And as we thought about that, it's like, you know, how often we take that for granted that we can worship or we can tell about our faith and we don't have to worry about somebody coming and pulling us into the middle of the town and beating us or even killing people we know and love because of our beliefs. The last one there, basically talking so far about Ed and Carmen and the ministry there. These are some of the pictures that Cody took when he was there. He just graduated, or actually will graduate soon, from Liberty with a motion picture degree. But as he was there just before we arrived, he was able to go into some of the villages and take some pictures. He is thinking now he is going to wants to use his photography training and his camera to be able to tell the story of God and what that means and what that looks like. And in my mind, it reminds me of some of the ones we have here that are that travel for mission organizations that take pictures and bring back and make them available. So I've put a few of these up here so that you can remember Cody and him graduating and also his searching for what the Lord wants him to do and the talents that he has. Did a phenomenal job with some of the pictures that he took. And then there's Casey. Casey just, well, this is one of her funny pictures when we had our VBS. She has just received a new tutor that is a college student there in Calcutta that helps her learn the language and also helps her with her homework. So we need to continue to pray for Casey as she is now learning another language. That makes her trilingual. And she's picking up some French, so she's maybe even learning two languages now. She already knows Chinese and English, so whatever that is, but multi-language that she is trying to keep up with. And then also we see Emily around here once in a while. Emily's back at UTC trying to take her classes and to keep up with her schoolwork. So we remember not just Ed and Carmen and Casey as they're there, but also Cody and Emily and the decisions that they have to make as they're finishing college and what the Lord wants for them to do. But again, thank you for your prayer support, especially as we are trying to land a plane. We certainly know that the Lord was with us and your prayers are with us. In some of the ministry opportunities that they have there, we certainly felt your prayers. So we thank you for your prayers, your support of Amy and I as we've gone to China 5 times and now India once to be that bridge to the Glodfelters, to take them supplies, to bring back a report of how well they're doing and our support of them as a church and the things that they're involved in. So thank you again for that, Doc.
Well done. Thank you, Mark. That that's kind of interesting and kind of exciting to kind of get that update and to begin to see the opportunities. And you begin to think about ministry across the world. And, you know, you begin to think, you know, just a few weeks ago, we saw something of the ministry that Gary and Allie and Diana and Yancey have to street people and to prostitutes and working with them to get them out of that and everything. And the problem that is in the Dominican Republic. And now you see just a whole culture that has just arisen, and you've just all kinds of situations that way. I remember listening to a report that came to us a couple years ago when they were talking about what happens in terms of the United States and our culture. And they tell us that Super Bowl time is one of the most horrific times for prostitution and things like that in the United States, when you have all these people descending on these various places to watch a football game and all these things happening. And so, you know, this ministry, I mean, it's ministry's very it's very real, and the opportunities we have. And I want to also mention, we don't have I'm not good enough on the geography to kind of put it all together, but as you're looking at the map of India, just up and to the right a hair is where Harry and Bea are in Chittagong, and that area in Bangladesh. And that's if you read Bea's, you know, weekly letters and everything, just some tremendous opportunities they're facing there. And if you come down, I'm not exactly sure where Sam and Sharon are, but it seems to me like they're more towards the middle, still on the right side, but more towards the middle. Is that about right? And so, and then of course the Devakars, and David is pretty close where Sam is in all of them. So there's some great opportunities. And so as we look at these things, you know, it's amazing to me. You begin to think about all of the teachers and teachers helpers that have been sent out, and we have had an instrumental part in their ministry this year through the church and through the school and all. Then stop and think about it. These are the people that, as God's, they see a field and they begin to see some of the things going on. The Lord's going to soften their heart. Not that it isn't already soft, but I think the Lord's going to carry some folks into various other locations and various places like that. So that's kind of neat, isn't it? It's going to put some pressure on us to help in that area. And so we need to be thinking about how we can invest and be involved in ministry and those things along the way. So that's terrific. That's the opportunity we have. Well, this indeed is the Lord's table. And I think as we talk about the Lord's table, this is in the table of Grace Baptist Church. So if you're here, whether you remember or not, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to participate with us. And there's two aspects to this. First of all, there's the bread, and the bread represents who Jesus is. And then there is the juice, and it represents the blood of Christ and what Jesus did. And so who he is and what he did. And so those are important things that we think about and that we meditate about. There's another element as you look at these passages that talk about the Lord's table, and that is it's a time of examination. At least on a regular basis, we ought to be looking and we ought to be saying, Lord, what kinds of things need to be going on in my life? How do I need to be adjusting my life, adjusting my schedule, adjusting my finances in terms of how I'm going to invest in ministry and I'm going to be involved in folks' lives? And so we encourage you to take this time as a time of self-examination. And quite obviously, if there's areas in your life where you've made poor choices and there's things going on that shouldn't be going on, this is a time for confession, isn't it? All of us have got things that we can carry before the Lord. Always remember reading the story of D.L. Moody one time where he talked to a guy about confessing his sin, and the guy said, well, I don't know what I should confess. And apparently Moody was a pretty bombastic kind of person. He says, well, just get down there and, and guess at it. And he went on to say, he said, you know what? He said, the guy got it right the first time. So, you guess at it, and I think the Lord will help us to get it right the first time, won't he? So this is the bread. So the Bible tells us that after all these things that the Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And so let's give thanks for the bread and all. Bill Fortner, will you thank the Lord for the bread?
Father, we thank you for the bread which represents your broken body. We stand amazed at what you were willing to do for us, the suffering you were willing to go through. Not only, Lord, the piercing, but the agony for that body. We thank you that we have the privilege of coming and remembering tonight. And we ask that you help us if we remember what you did for us, and the willingness to have your body broken, that we might have eternal life with you. It's in your name we pray.
Receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The scripture says, after the same manner also, he took the cup. And so, Chuck Norman, would you pray for the cup, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you not only for your body that was broken for us, but the blood you shed for the remission of sins. Lord, we thank you for providing a way of salvation for us. And Lord, that we remember the blood that was shed for us. Lord, we remember our lives and confess where we failed here. Lord, thank you for this time of remembrance. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death till he comes." That's what we're doing tonight. We're declaring the Lord's death till He comes. It is our custom that we take a benevolence offering at the close of a Lord's table. And I want you to understand we have had some great opportunities to talk to folks about various things going on in their life. We had a fellow that came and was at church last Sunday night, and he was dressed pretty well, and he was just looking for a little help for some food and some things like that. And as I was talking to him, I don't know what it was, but I said, "Have you been here before?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Back in 07, I came, and you were actually able to..." He went to Men in Transition, I think, and then went over and worked for one of the fellows here in the church and did some mechanics work and everything. And so it was encouraging to be able to continue to have that tie and to have that opportunity. Lord gives us opportunities, and the only reason we get these opportunities is because You're so generous with the benevolence. And so that's what we try to do. Father, for this offering, we thank You and pray that You'll use it to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.